In this episode, we're going to hear the stories from four different park rangers and their very strange encounters while they were on the job. If you dig this kind of content, let me know by hitting that like button. And make sure to subscribe if you like hearing stories about strange and weird encounters, because I release every single day. When I worked up at the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, I used to hear about an old Cherokee legend, about a woods witch that would snatch children away and eat their body parts. Thankfully, there were never any missing children cases while I was out there. A good many missing hikers, though, for sure. But most of them turned up eventually. Usually it was just people misjudging the terrain or the conditions, or tragically going out there with the intention of not coming back. While I was there, I was based out of Gatlinburg, which is a small town not too far from one of the entrances. But this one time I remember, I was working up at the old Sugarlands Trail, because some trees had come down on the trail with bad weather, and I was just out there trying to clear the trail. I had just started working to clear the trail when I saw something down through the trees, about 50 or 75 yards down the path, down this little slope in some pretty thick forest. I could see it really well because it was fall, and it really stood out against the color of the trees. It had very dark black fur. I thought it was a black bear, but I was pretty curious, so I just continued watching this animal, and when it came to a stop, I decided to come to a stop as well, because I didn't want to spook it. I wanted to get a better look. The more I looked, though, the more I saw. This thing was hidden among the trees, but I could see that it had very long back legs that were bent backwards the same as a dog. Its hind quarters were kind of slim but rose into this great broad back with a hump in it that almost reminded me of a bison. It looked like it was looking up at me from the side, but as I moved my head around to see, I caught sight of its head. And that's when I started to think that maybe I was a bit too close to whatever this thing was. But before I could turn and run, it came charging up the hill at me, and I just stood there. I'd like to say I was bravely standing my ground, but it was some kind of primal fear that rooted me to the ground in that moment. I don't know whether it was instinct or what, but I stood there anyway. And it came towards me between the trees. I caught sight of those big slobbering jowls like a Rottweiler has, and these two eyes that were black under the trees but had a streak of yellow in them as well. It kept coming up the hill on the trail, and then about 30 yards away from me, it darts off into the forest. I couldn't believe what I have just seen. I decided the best thing to do was to head back to the visitor center and make sure these trails stayed closed until we got some animal experts in here to find out what in the hell is running around out here. In the end, though, we couldn't find any trace of an animal that wasn't supposed to be in the park. And the matter got dropped after about a week where myself and some other rangers did a lot of tracking and searching around there. Nothing ever turned up. Being a park ranger means getting to share with people what a special and unique place you work in. There's a saying among park rangers that we get paid in sunsets. But for me, getting to watch deer and bear outside my office is another perk, and actively getting to protect what's best about America, its natural heritage. I'm part Shoshone as well, so I feel like I have a strong connection to the land. So it really gets me going when I have to deal with people abusing the rules of the park, which are there to protect the place and its wildlife. One night, I was called out to something strange, though, which reminded me that nature has a way of defending itself. I was called out with several other rangers to Teton Park Road in the middle of January 2012. That road is closed from November to May, so when another ranger came across the trails of an animal out there, as well as tracks that led from the road out into the plain, we all knew we were dealing with an illegal hunting situation. Best I could guess is they shot a bison while it was crossing the road, then probably loaded it onto a truck in the cargo bed and then took off with their prize. They made a real mess of the bison while they were loading it by the looks of things, and the blood was real fresh, so we thought we had a good chance of catching up with them, especially with an animal in the back of the truck. We split into groups of two or three and headed out. We were only about a mile into the hills, still following pretty clean tracks, when we saw the truck up ahead, and it was stopped. We approached carefully. Every one of us was armed and ready for trouble if it came our way. When we got close, I could see the dead bison in the bed, and I could see that the passenger door of the truck was wide open. We came around real careful to see who might be inside, but there was no sign of anyone in there. I had a look around the inside. The weapon they used to kill the bison was propped up behind the seat on the driver's side. One of the other rangers was shining his flashlight into the hills when he whistled at us and then hollered for us to come over. I had my flashlight in the car, but I could see well enough what he was pointing out with his own. There was a woman wandering around only 50 yards away. We called out to her that we were law enforcement, but we got no reply. I could see that she wasn't armed, but two of the rangers approached her with their weapons drawn, insisting that she go to the ground. She was a middle-aged woman, tall and slim. When she finally saw us, she didn't seem to know what was going on or why we were there. I wondered if maybe she was on drugs because she kept mumbling something underneath her breath and looking over her shoulder. But I was thinking that getting that bison up there by herself while high would be a pretty tall order. Well, after we had searched the area for anyone else, we brought this lady back to our ranger station as we wanted to see if we could find out what had happened out there. After about an hour, she started coming around some. She was like coming out of some type of daze. She confessed to taking the bison down, but she said it was her boyfriend who had done the shooting as well as the driving. She had helped him with the loading, and when the two of them were driving back with their prize, they heard this real high-pitched ringing in their ears. The next thing she remembered was being paralyzed from head to toe. She couldn't even move her eyes. She was just sitting there frozen. The truck had come to a stop. Her boyfriend wasn't moving beside her. In the glare of the headlights, she saw a man walk up to the driver's side, and then she could hear him doing something to her boyfriend. When she was able to move again, the boyfriend was gone, and she didn't know where she was or how she had got there, which was when we found her. Now, a few days later, our friend down at the sheriff's office told us that the lady tested negative for any intoxicants or drugs. And the truck had been her boyfriend's and he was missing. And who do you think ended up having to go search for this guy? Of course, it was us, out there searching for him. With the snow that winter, though, it was like looking for a needle in a haystack. My best guess was that he had run off and the girl was covering for him. But I heard that after she paid her fines for everything she got cited for that evening, I heard that she went out to look for the boyfriend in the hills off Teton Road with some of his family. I don't work up there anymore, but I don't know if they ever did find that man. I worked for Glacier Park for many years in the 90s, and I was in charge of a station where I'd mostly do midday to evening shifts. One evening in the summer months, I was up at the station doing some paperwork when a man knocked on my door. So I went outside and we talked for a while. He was a younger man and he had his dog with him. He wanted to know about spots to hunt game up there. Told me he was planning to come back and maybe bag a buck with some friends if he could. It was while I was talking to him that the dog started getting really aggressive. I thought it was going for me at first by the way it was pulling on the leash, and it was barking its head off. I looked at the man and he was looking behind me, and his face had gone pale as snow. I pretty much knew what I was going to see when I turned around, so I told him to pick up his dog and slowly move away towards his car. Don't shout or make any sudden movements or make eye contact with it. I slowly turned around to face it. There were often black bears outside my office up there. They'd come by at least once a week that time of year, but I never had any trouble with them. I caught a glance of a big dark thing standing on two legs in the trees behind the station, but my head snapped around again because this man had just taken off with his dog under his arm, sprinting as hard as he could towards his car. I had the bear spray out, and in a second I turned to face it, But there was nothing there when I turned. My heart sank when I turned back around and saw that it was following the line of the trees in the direction of this man's car, and it was without a doubt going to get there first. But when I got to the edge of the tree line, it stopped dead in its tracks and then just stood there, as the man opened the back seat of his car and went in with him and his dog. I watched him scramble his way into the front seat and start up the engine. I don't know if he could see what was watching him through his mirror, but he just had a one-track mind and wanted to get his dog and him in the car and out of there as quickly as he could. I had made my way back to the door of the station because I could see why that thing had scared him so much. It didn't look like any bear. It was some kind of mishapen beast that I'd never seen before and wouldn't be too keen on seeing again. The way that thing ran on all fours and then stood up on two legs and then watched the man leave was scary enough. But its head was truly formidable from what I could see. A very long snout with these big nasty teeth that just hung over the side of its mouth. A very ugly creased face like a dog that had been beaten by its owner. Whatever it was went down the road the car had gone, but slowly, not chasing it, just walking after it, this time on all four legs. I don't know what this thing was, but I never saw anything like it again after that. In all the parks that I worked at, nothing really compared to the stars on a clear night out at Black Canyon of the Gunnison in Colorado. The reason for it being so good down there is thanks in no small part to the Park Service, because we work with the International Dark Sky Association to keep it that way, making sure to educate the public and keep the light pollution to an absolute minimum. In 2017, I was working a lot of nights during the summer, when you can see the Milky Way rising up early in the evening until a few hours later, it's right overhead. Truly a magical sight. One evening during that summer, I was working up near Kneeling Camel Overlook. I'd given some guided stargazing tours earlier in the evening, and I was just out by myself heading up this road towards the old ranger station, when I heard something shouting towards my direction. When I got there was a young girl in a hat shouting out the name Michael with her hands cupped around her mouth. She had a headlamp on that kind of blinded me when I came down to see her and to see what was going on. Her name was Anna, and she told me that she had been over at a viewpoint with her boyfriend, this Michael, and they had been looking up at the stars through their telescope. Michael had spotted something in the sky but didn't know what it was. He asked her to take a look. Anna put her eye to the telescope but couldn't see what he was talking about when she had looked back to him and Michael was gone. At first, she thought that maybe he was just trying to scare her, but that wasn't like him, she said. This was over an hour ago. She stayed at the viewpoint for a while thinking he'd come back, but when he didn't, she wandered around looking for him, eventually coming back to where they had parked their car. We went back to the viewpoint, went all over the rocks and down the trail and up to the overlook, but couldn't find any sign of this Michael. We looked for about an hour ourselves, but I knew that because of the fall risk, I was probably going to have to call it in, even though there wouldn't be much we could do until it got light out. I got into my car and Anna joined me. Since Michael had had the keys to their car, I needed to get to the north rim so I could get back up and make some calls. We had gone just less than a mile down the road when there was Michael right in front of us, just walking along and minding his own business. Anna got out of the car and chewed him out right then and there, but the young man was confused. According to him, Anna was the one who had gone missing. He told us that he had been looking up at the sky, and then he looked back at Anna and she wasn't there. He had tried to go back to the car, but he couldn't remember the way, even though it was a clear path to it from the viewpoint they had been at. He had got lost and he was trying to follow the road to where he thought he parked a car. Also, he told us that he heard Anna screaming his name, but every time he would go towards it, the sound would come from a different direction. The strangest part of this story was that according to him, all of this had happened in the last 20 minutes. He was at a loss for words when we told him that more than 2 hours had passed since he went missing. They seemed like they were completely sober to me, just very stressed and now relieved to have found each other again. As far as I was concerned, all was well that ended well, and I dropped them back to their car and saw them off. This is by far the weirdest encounter that I've had working there.